We're not children and we're not adults. We've finished with Christmas, but we haven't started the new year. We're just kind of caught in that in-between time when we're not sure what it is we're supposed to be doing. So what I would like to do this morning is to take back to the story. This is at least three of the last four Sabbaths that we've read the same scripture reading, or major portions of it together. But to reach back to the story that we hear so often every year and see if we can pull something from there that will send us into the new year with strength and vitality. Every year, the story is told. The schools put on the plays. The church puts on the play. The scenes are enacted. It's the same story. You can't change it. It just has to be told. But every year, they want to be involved. The kids especially want to be involved. The excitement. Who is going to play Mary? Who is going to play Joseph? I want to be Mary. I want to be Joseph. I want to be a wise man. You could be a wise man like I was one time. I actually got to lead a camel, a real one. Wise man, that's a good one. A shepherd, if you can't be a wise man, we put them down as three wise men, but only number of people, but untold number of shepherds possibly we could have. Of course, there are the angels who make all the announcements and come and give and sing and talk to them. There are other characters as well. I mean, the camel I referred to. You have donkeys. You have sheep. And the best part every year is when we take the littlest children and we dress them up in their little lamb's outfits with the curly little ears and they walk around and the mothers are fussing and putting them in their place and the little angels come out with their wings on and everybody comes and takes pictures. The fun. What's missing from the story? What do we not think about that is a part of the story of Christmas every year? I invite you to go to Luke chapter 1. We'll pick up the beginning of the story. It's the announcement and the experience of Zechariah recorded there, and we'll start with verse 8. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." There's the first inkling. The Holy Spirit. We forget in the story the presence of the Spirit as it moves, and we find the story of John, and begin, known later as the Baptist, who is grown up and now goes out, and he is preparing the way for the people to come to Jesus. And he does this through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. There's a second reference a little bit later there, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to Mary. And he tells Mary that she's going to have this child. He will be great. Verse 34, Mary says to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." The power of the story of Christmas comes from the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And yet every year we tell the story, and there is only a brief reference to the part of the Holy Spirit. We focus on all the other characters. Last Sabbath in our worship service, the pastors each chose a specific word to speak with, and the word that I chose was the word behold. And it was one of those words that Gabriel spoke several times to Mary, and Mary answered back using the word behold. The angels addressed the shepherds saying, "Behold." I then reference several other beholds that we find in Scripture, and we find that every time the word behold is given, following it is something awesome and great. There's one more reference I want to share with you that I didn't share last week. It's the word behold that appears in Revelation chapter 3. It's a picture of Jesus standing at the door, knocking, and the scripture says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." As we think about the Christmas story and the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, as we now move forward through this year, my invitation is that we not leave the story behind. While we may not continue the celebration to the same level, that we not leave the Holy Spirit out, but continue to enjoy the presence of the Spirit as we move into the new year. Jesus promised when he was on earth that when he returned to heaven, he would send the Spirit to be here in the world with us. What I am saying to you is simply this. When you answer the door of your heart and you invite Jesus to come in, you are in reality inviting the Holy Spirit to be present in you. Not by default, but by deliberate, conscious choice. The power of Jesus plays out in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to contemplate, to think deeply, to enter this new year that is about to come upon us in 2018 and be conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit as we enter into this new year. We end the year of 2017 celebrating the birth of Jesus, our Savior. Through him, we are given the promise of new life, a new beginning for mankind because of what he has done for us. And in order to continue to have a great new year, we need the Spirit to remain with us. So I invite you, as we enter into the Lord's Supper and as we join around the table, in your own mind and heart, contemplate your relationship with Jesus and the necessity of the presence of the Holy Spirit. As we come around the table, we have a custom, and Pastor Trevin will read the scripture, and then Pastor Nick will offer a prayer. And when we come to the prayer, we'll invite the deacons that will be serving and those of us on the platform to kneel during the prayer. The rest of you may remain seated if you desire. As we come and we just gather around these symbols, the broken body and the blood spilled for us, so that our body, broken and spilled, may be made whole.
1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26 read, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'"
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for the life that you give us through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your body so that one day this mortal could put on immortality. Thank you for giving your blood so that we could be cleansed from the inside out. May taking these emblems, these symbols, remind us of your story and make the story so much more real in our day-to-day life now. May we all be rededicated to you today and live the rest of our lives as a response of worship for your gift. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us. Thank you for the freedom and new abundant life that you give, that we can experience now and eternally from this year forward. Spirit, lead us forward by moment, moment by moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
because of sin, our bodies are broken. Jesus, who knew no sin, had his body broken in order that our bodies may be restored. So we have the privilege of joining in with Jesus and expressing our appreciation and our response to his great gift. And just as our bodies were broken because of sin, there's no life in it. That's why Jesus gave his life in order to give us life. And so we can share in the symbol of his spilled blood. The scripture says that when the Lord's Supper was completed, they sang a hymn and went out rejoicing. So we'll do that today. The deacons will be at the doors to collect an offering for those who have special needs. They'll also be able to carry the cup, take the cups from you. But today has been a great celebration. Not only do we complete the year 2017, we get to come into a new year. We had baby dedications, and we had a baptism, and we have one item of business left to do. And so, Trevin, why don't you do it?
It's my privilege to invite Andrew to join me up front. We join in celebrating his baptism. And for any of those of you who know Andrew, you have seen God's presence and work in his life for many, many years. I was surprised to find out he hadn't been baptized yet. I said, Andrew hasn't been baptized yet? Because I've just seen God at work in his life so strongly and your commitment and dedication to him. And so today truly is just an outward symbol of what God has been doing in your life for many, many years. I've seen it most at display during vacation Bible school, but know you serve all the time. I just really appreciate how God has already been using your life, and I'm excited to see how he continues to use you in the future. But we do need to officially vote him into membership here at the Azure Hills Church. And if that is your desire, please join me in saying a very loud and excited amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's official. Let me pray with you. Dear God, thank you so much for the way you've been working in Andrew's life. And God, we thank you so much for this step that he's taken today. And we pray that you would continue to be with him, that your Spirit's presence would guide and direct him all the days of his life, and that he would see you at work in his life, and that you would lead him to a life of serving others with great joy. And so, God, we thank you for his commitment and his dedication today, and we pray for your presence with him each and every day of the rest of his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Mr. Alger mentioned, we will now